Welcome, welcome. We're in Proverbs 18. We're just going to call this Proverbs 18 part 2 because there's going to be a part 3. So we're not going to get through all of it today. Been a tough month for us as a church. Every week for the last 4 weeks we've announced that somebody else has passed away. And if you haven't heard, Gary Bishop passed away, found his body on his boat Sunday last week, a week ago. So I'll be praying for his wife Erin, for their sons, for their kids, and I'll kind of give you the backstory so that Erin doesn't have to share it 100 times or 1,000 times. She already has and probably is worn out by the whole process. So I'll do my best to kind of share in a nutshell kind of what happened. Gary and a friend went down to Santa Barbara area to pick up a boat that they had down there. And the boat wasn't in great shape. In fact, it broke down a couple times, and Erin took parts down, I think, to Gaviota to help them get the boat repaired so that they could get the boat up here to this area. Somewhere along the line, Erin lost contact with her husband, with Gary, and couldn't reach him, so she called the Coast Guard, and search and rescue went looking for the boat. They found the boat 20 miles offshore. It had drifted, and both Gary and his friend Chris were found dead on the boat, and they don't suspect foul play, but they're going to do a toxicology and get a report and find out kind of what happened. And so it's tough because we won't know for 4 to 6 weeks cause of death, and a long time to wait. It's a difficult, difficult time for everybody involved. And so this is, just another blow. This is four weeks, so it's been tough. So we're going to pray. I think the songs that we were singing this morning were so appropriate to where we are right now as a church. And I think the passages that we'll be looking at today are appropriate as well. And we get into Proverbs 18 and look at a few verses there. Erin, we love you, and we're so sorry for your loss. Let's pray. Lord, we're at a loss sometimes. But we do know that you are faithful, and we have confidence in that, Lord. And so in the midst of these difficulties that we continue to face, Lord, and in the midst of disappointment, Lord, help us keep our eyes on you. God, help us to look to you, because it's in you that we find strength, and it's in you that we find peace and resilience, capacity to face unexpected things, disappointing things, very hard and sad things, Lord. It's in you that we're able to navigate these things. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd fill each person overflowing, Lord, that we would feel your presence in just a powerful and profound way, and in powerful and profound, God, that there would just be profound strength found in you, Lord Jesus. A profound realization of you on a new level, Lord, that we would see you and feel you and experience you and know you at a whole new level. That we would be stronger than we've ever been before because of your grace, because of your Spirit. So, Lord, in the midst of all of this, there are still very good things happening in our church, in our lives, Lord, and so help us not to lose sight of those things, but also help us to just be mindful and prayerful about the things that are coming against us as well, Lord Jesus. So minister to every family who's lost a loved one this last month. Help us, Lord, we pray. God, as we open up your word, pray that you would use the word to speak to us, and we would find rich hope there, rich peace there, and even joy, Lord, even joy. So God, your will be done all over this campus and in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you see Frank and Kristen and their son Nate, they're getting ready to leave the area, moving out of state because of a job change. And if you see Ken and Bonnie Ritz, they're getting ready to head out as well. So say goodbye, pray over them, love them. And they're people that have been a part of our church for a lot of years. And they're, because of work change and retirement and different things, they're transitioning out of the area. So be blessing them on their way out. Proverbs 18:14 says this, the human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? Our true strength resides in our inner life. So all kinds of stuff can be coming against us physically, but our true strength as believers especially resides in our inner life. Throughout history, people have gone through difficulty. Followers of Jesus have been through difficulty. The Apostle John was boiled in oil, and historians tell us that God delivered him, that he was untouched. He wasn't hurt by the experience, and he went on continuing to serve God. God delivered him. John remained faithful till death. Peter was put into prison, and God delivered him. And Peter remained faithful throughout the course of his life. Paul was falsely accused and beaten and imprisoned and shipwrecked and snake bitten, and God delivered him. God delivered him. Man's true strength resides in his inner life. It's been said that when one is short of external resources, life is hard. When one is short of internal resources, life is unbearable. God is faithful to give us those internal resources in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's given us his word, and he's given us his spirit so that we might be resourced for the challenges that we face. As human beings, the Apostle Paul describes us as being spirit, soul, and body. We're a type of trinity in and of ourselves, and Paul understood the value of spirit, soul, and body. He wrote to the church in Thessalonians, this Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. He said, God will make this happen. God will make this happen because he's faithful. For he who calls you is faithful. I think we're tempted to, as we said last week, isolate ourselves from God and isolate ourselves from people when we're going through difficulty, but God, as part of his resource, has given us one another. People who can help us and pray for us, can encourage us, can put their arms around us and serve us in our time of need. So please do that. Let's serve one another, and when we don't know what to say, let's reach out anyway. In our brokenness, sometimes we minister the most effectively because we don't know in and of ourselves what to do, but we know that God will speak through us and God will minister through us. And so if we just say, God, I don't know, but I know that you do. And so, God, I'm going to just make my feeble attempt to serve this person, this need. Genuine strength is found internally within the body of Christ. We have the capacity to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, and to be there for one another. God resources us in the body of Christ, but he also resources us in our own personal lives with his Spirit and his Word. Samson was a weak man, though he had great physical strength. You look at him and he was a strong physically a specimen. He was a man's man, but he was weak spiritually. The Apostle Paul was spiritually strong as anyone. And yet he was described as gentle and kind, even timid with dealing with the Corinthian church. He was gentle and kind and timid when dealing with people, and yet he was this pillar of righteousness, this pillar of strength. He was able to say, when I am weak, that I am strong. His strength and his fortitude came from Jesus, came from the Lord himself. And as he leaned on God and looked to God, as he determined in his soul to stay close to the Lord, there was no giving up. No matter what they did to him or threw at him or tried to do to stop him, there was no giving up. We look at Paul's life, we can see that I think we can say honestly that he shut the door on quitting. It wasn't an option for him. Giving up was not an option. When I was in high school, my freshman year of high school, I was on the wrestling team. I had never wrestled before. And I think I was talked into it by the wrestling coach. Got talked into it, and I was partnered with this skinny little kid who would pin me in about 3 seconds every time. He pinned me every time, and I was looking for an excuse to quit because I was tired of his slippery, sweaty body pinning me every time I got next to him. It was ridiculous. I think he'd been wrestling since he was born. You know, he knew all the tricks, and I was just a novice. During Christmas break, I was playing football, pickup game of football with a bunch of friends, and I broke my left leg in two places, and I was so relieved that I could quit wrestling. I was looking for an excuse to quit. I was looking for a reason to quit. Some of us are looking for a reason to quit on the Lord. We're looking for a reason to quit on our faith. We're looking for the exit. And can I just challenge us as the body of Christ to shut the door on that opportunity and just bolt that and latch that and not even entertain that? Because we will go down a slippery slope that will bring about our destruction and our pain. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. in our weakness, we need to draw close to the Lord and to one another and allow God to strengthen us. Some of us have been wrestling with God over all of the difficulty in our lives. We've struggled with understanding. I was talking to a friend this week and said, I've been wrestling with God and he won. I said, did he win or did you let him win? I never even thought about that question before. Not even sure I know the answer to that question. But I know Jacob was relentless in his wrestling match with God. He wouldn't give up. And God finally touched his hip and he walked the rest of his life with a limp. We can wrestle with God and walk away with a limp because we just keep wrestling, or we can just choose to give up and let God win and experience the blessing that follows that decision. Some of us just need to surrender to God's plan. And decide we're done fighting God. Jacob was wrestling God, trying to get God to bless him. Others are wrestling God, just trying to win somehow. I don't know what we're trying to win, but we're wrestling with God and fighting with God, trying to get our way. We're only going to end up hurting ourselves. The next verse, verse 15, Proverbs 18 says, intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. I think the beauty of growing older in our faith, whether it's a year down the road or 10 years down the road or 40 years down the road, the beauty of growing in our faith is twofold. Number one, though our bodies get frail, we have an experience, a wisdom from walking with Jesus that has the capacity to sustain us. The Apostle Paul describes our outward bodies as tents that are just kind of temporary housing places for us, and they're wasting away. If you've ever had a tent be outside for a long time, it begins to get torn and tattered, and that's kind of a description of our bodies, our external, our holding place here. They get torn and tattered, but by God's grace, our spirits can become stronger and stronger. As we yield to him and as we submit to him and as we surrender to him, there's just something, a work of God that happens internally that's able to sustain us. And we have the capacity, as we stick close to Jesus and allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to grow in wisdom and to grow in understanding and to grow in knowledge. Intelligent people are always ready to learn. We talked about kind of the recipe for success a few weeks ago. It's to be faithful, available, and teachable. It says their ears are always open for knowledge. Learning is a lifelong journey, and intelligent people continue to learn all the days of their lives. I remember when Jolene's grandfather, Don, was in his 80s. He would show up. He was a part of this church when we first planted at the school and when we got here. And as an old man, he fell in love with Jesus. And I think it's because he was always hungry to learn. He would show up to our family dinners with a new word, the word for the day. Remember that? And he would have a word for the day. Every day he would open up the dictionary, or maybe he had some kind of a book, but he wanted to learn. And I think that made him available to the gospel. He was He heard the gospel, and he was teachable even in his old age, and he wanted to hear, he wanted to learn, and he heard the gospel, and he gave himself to Jesus. After decades of not. And so we're going to see him. I think we can kind of begin to shut down as we get older, older in the faith. We shut down to new knowledge and experiences with the Lord. We kind of get things figured out, and there's nothing new under the sun, but we kind of have our pet understanding, his doctrine, whatever it is, and we get to a place and we stopped somewhere along the line, decided I'm not growing anymore. So we quit learning. And I'll be honest, if we quit learning, we actually kind of quit being useful. We're useful to a point, but if we quit learning, we kind of quit on God's ability to use us in people's lives. Some quit learning when they're done with school. I've heard that some, when they graduate from high school or college or whatever it is, that they stop reading. The last book that some people read is in high school or college, and so they figure they've got enough learning for the rest of their lives. There's wisdom in learning daily from the Lord and from his word and allowing ourselves. There's something about that teachable spirit that keeps us moving forward in Christ. And so when we're going through difficulty, we can press into God and say, Lord, what do I need to learn from this? What do you want to teach me? Lord, what are you teaching us corporately? What are you teaching us individually? God, what is going on? There's this openness to what God is doing. Even if we're angry or disillusioned, God, what is it that you're trying to communicate? What are you trying to teach us? And there's something about that openness and that teachability that keeps us moving forward. And so as we discover what God is trying to teach us and what he's revealing about himself to us, we're growing in our faith. And so that when others in our lives are going through difficulty, we now have tools to help them as they suffer loss or sickness, disappointment, tragedy. Heard this little quip along the way, leaders are learners and learners are leaders. That's just the way it is. So if we want to be used by God, we have to be hungry for truth and revelation about who he is, and we have to understand the Bible, finding new depths of understanding. We're never going to fully understand it. I read the Bible sometimes and I have no idea what some of these verses mean. I'm clueless, and so I have to read. I have to read others who have gone before and who have understanding about things, and then a light goes on. But if there's no pressing in, no pressing forward, there's a lack of understanding. God wants to expand our horizons in him, helping us to grow up in our understanding and go deeper in our most holy faith. What is God trying to teach you in your season? Some of you are having the time of your life, and God bless you for that. Others are going through hard stuff, and then there's people everywhere in between. What is God trying to teach you? Because I think he's always trying to communicate something of his character, something of his plan, something of his will. He's always trying to grow us and teach us and help us with understanding. What is God teaching you right now? Are you rushing through it, trying to just get through the other side of it? Or are you having so much fun that you're ignoring God altogether? Everything's kind of working out for you, so you've got God on the back burner. In both scenarios, we can put God on the back burner. Yeah, all is good. I'll reach out when I need you. But Lord, not everything is good. Where are you? We put God on the back burner instead of putting him forward in front. And so, Lord, what is it, Lord? What is it that you're trying to communicate to us? God has given us gifts, his word and his spirit. Verse 16 says, this is Proverbs 18 again, our third verse for the morning, giving a gift can open doors. It gives access to important people. Proverbs is hard to follow. Jumps with every verse to a different topic. But we'll just unpack it and preach a mini sermon from every verse, and hopefully they will all tie together. I think they do. In 1 Kings 10, the Queen of Sheba visited Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived other than Christ, and she brought him gifts. She brought him spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones. It's actually common practice for heads of state when visiting other heads of state to bring gifts. Gifts show honor. In Matthew 2, when the Magi went to visit the newborn Jesus, they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gifts celebrated the birth of the Messiah. The gifts demonstrated their hearts of gratitude and awe at the arrival of the newborn King of the Jews. Gift giving is part of the celebration. Jesus came bearing gifts for the world, gifts that we might that we might know him, gifts of salvation, gifts of grace, gifts of peace. And then he calls us into a relationship where we reciprocate, where we give. Maybe like the Magi, we give gifts of our gratitude, because of our appreciation, because of our love for Jesus, we give gifts. We give gifts. Part of the gift that God is giving you, that God gives me, is the gift of difficulty in our journey. The gift of difficulty in our journey. He didn't cause Gary's death. But he does allow difficulty into our journey, because it's through those difficult moments, those difficult seasons, that we have the best opportunity to grow and to understand who he is. To be a part of his gift to the world, because he uses us in our pain and our disappointment to minister to others who are in their pain and who are in their disappointment. So those things that we see as difficulty, we can, with God's clarity, begin to see as gifts, because those things are preparing us to serve others. Because inevitably we will encounter people who have gone through what we've gone through, and then we have a choice. Will we serve those people the way that God has served us through our difficulty? Will we serve those people like others have served us? God's gospel message is all about gifts. He's come that we might have life, life abundant. He's come that we might have our sins forgiven, the gift of forgiveness, gift of grace, the gift of his unconditional love, the gift of his joy, and the gift of his peace. His heart is to give good gifts, that we might receive them and then in turn give good gifts to one another and then serve, giving, using our gifts within the kingdom, using our time, talent, and our treasure to serve. Realizing that we're in this supernatural, profound, complicated work that God is accomplishing here in the earth, and He's invited us into it as part of the process. And we get to be a part of it. Jesus is the best gift giver that I've encountered. Jesus, by His grace, paved the way for us to know Him by giving Himself. Jesus gave Himself. He continues to give Himself. It is what He does. He forever will be giving Himself. He gives forgiveness and eternal life, strength, peace, wisdom, freedom, joy, and on and on and on. All of these gifts are available to anyone who will receive Jesus. As I get to each verse, I'm trying to decide, should I go on with the next verse or should we wrap it up there? Let's do the next one and then we'll wrap up there. Verse 17 says, the first to speak in court sounds right until the cross-examination begins. The wisdom there is to hear both sides before deciding. Sometimes when we're going through hard stuff, all we're getting is one side. And we've decided God is unjust, He is unkind, He is unfriendly, He is not faithful. We've decided because of the difficulties that we've experienced that He is absent. And hopefully today you're hearing the other side. The other side of the story, the rest of the story. Often the first to speak are those things in our lives that are speaking the loudest, bringing us the most pain and the most discomfort. Got our attention, our full attention. The first to speak in court sounds right until the cross-examination begins. And then when you hear the rest of it, you get a chance. Take a breath, breathe a sigh of relief, and trust Jesus again. Or you could just flip a coin to decide. That's what the next verse says. Flipping a coin or casting lots can end arguments. It settles disputes between powerful opponents. So you can say, you know, I don't know what to do with God anymore. I'm going to flip a coin and decide, heads, I stay with Jesus, tails, I walk away. I'm not sure I would use this process for important decisions. Should I pay my taxes? Should I drive safely? Read this story in Roswell, Georgia. Kind of titled, Heads, You're Under Arrest. Tails, You're Free to Go. Body camera video shows Georgia police officers laughing as they use a coin flip app to decide whether to detain a woman during a traffic stop in April. Both officers were put on administrative leave pending further review. They flipped the coin, actually landed in her favor, but they decided to arrest her anyway. And when it was discovered what happened, they were disciplined. Should we discipline these officers or not? Flip a coin, boop, I don't know. The power of a coin flip. Where should we eat? Flip a coin. What should we do tonight? Flip a coin. And even Jesus' disciples cast lots, kind of flipped a coin when deciding the new disciple who would take Judas's place. Judas betrayed Jesus, and they were undecided. They had a couple people, so they just cast lots, flipped a coin, and they chose Matthias. When he was running from God, you ever done that? When he was running from God, God told him to go one place, and he got on a boat and went the opposite direction, blatantly running from God's plan for his life. A storm hit the boat, and the sailors tried to decide whose God brought the storm, whose God was causing the problem, and they cast lots, and the lots landed on Jonah. Well, they didn't want to throw him overboard, but they ended up throwing him overboard. And Jonah ended up getting swallowed, spit up on the beach, and God has had his attention. He wrestled with God. And God sent a storm. And maybe he didn't even wrestle with God. He was just trying to get away from God, right? Just trying to get away as fast as he could in the opposite direction, doing exactly the opposite of what God would have him to do. And maybe you're here today and you're trying to do the same thing. You're here just, I'm not even sure why you'd be in church if that were where you are. But maybe it's just in an area you're running from God. Maybe it's in a particular area you've been running, and maybe God's sending a storm. And again, God didn't. He didn't cause Gary's death. So separate yourself from that. But there is a storm potentially brewing. What will you do with that? Will you do like Jacob and make God give you a permanent limp, or will you just surrender finally? God, I surrender. I'm tired of wrestling. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of trying to do my thing. God, I surrender to you. Tired of leaving my life to chance, flipping a coin. Should I do this or should I do that? The best possible answer is just to let the Lordship of Jesus Christ reign and rule supreme in your life. To be submitted and to be surrendered to Jesus no matter what happens, no matter what storms hit, no matter what pain hit, we just are surrendered to Jesus. We've deadbolted the back door that would give us a way of escape, and it's not even an option in our mind. We're just pushing forward, moving forward with Jesus, trusting him. In spite of all that we feel, we're trusting him, believing him. This is the inner strength that we need in order to endure. Life's going to hit us with all kinds of stuff. If it's not hitting you today, it'll hit you sometime in the future. Will you endure? You will if Jesus is at the center of your life, if he's Lord, if he's King, if he's allowed to rule, and if we continue to submit and yield, we will endure whatever. We will endure whatever to the glory of God, and we will finish our race. By God's grace, we will finish. I was talking to a group of pastors a couple of years ago, and in closing, one of the pastors just said, "Hey, I just want to finish my race. Nothing else in this life matters. Everything else is temporal. It's temporary. It's wood, hay, and stubble. It will burn up." And this guy knew that. He just wanted to finish his race. God wants us to finish the race. So with that, I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward, and I'm going to invite the ushers to come collect the tithes and the offerings, communication cards. And so why don't we go ahead and stand, and as we stand, we're going to sing. And again, this is called the response time of worship. And so we just have a time to respond to what Jesus has been speaking to us. And so ushers, if you guys can come forward, and then we'll just pray and we'll just give ourselves to the Lord again. Jesus, we give ourselves to you. I can't even imagine. I don't want to imagine going forward without you, Jesus. I yield to you. We yield as a church to you. We submit to you. God, even in our lack of understanding about what's going on in our lives, we say yes. We trust you, Jesus. The enemy's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but you are faithful in Jesus' name. You are faithful. You've come that we might have life and life abundantly. You are faithful. Our adversaries, he's a liar and a thief and a killer, but you are faithful, God. You are faithful. Lord, help us to walk in that new life and experience that new life in you, Jesus. And so for any of us that need to recommit or commit for the first time, Lord, I pray that that would happen today. If you're here and you're committing for the first time, giving your life to Jesus, just tell him, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. I'm submitting to you. I'm moving forward with you. I believe you. I trust you. I welcome your grace. I welcome your love, your forgiveness, your plan, your purpose. I welcome you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Teach me your word. Teach me your truth. And if you're rededicating your life to the Lord, you say the same thing. Jesus, I give myself to you. I want you to be first and foremost Lord and leader. I want to be submitted and surrendered to you, Jesus. I give you my life. I'm not going to give myself an opportunity to slip away again. Getting rid of that back door altogether in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you're just struggling to understand God's plan and purpose and struggling to understand what's going on in your life, you say the same thing. God, I'm surrendered to you. I don't understand, but I don't need to fully understand because I know you understand, God, and I'm going to put my full trust in you. And so, God, my life is yours. God, minister to each person as we sing, as we worship. Be glorified. We love you and we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.